Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini. All through the scriptures, we see that God has a special place in his heart for widows. There are stories of provisions, such as in 1 and 2 Kings with Elijah and Elisha. There are stories of redemption, such as the story of Naomi and Mary. And there are stories of sacrifice, such as the widow who gave her 2 copper coins, or Anna, who spent the remaining years of her life ministering to the Lord in the temple. In today's podcast, family pastor Scott Torres talks with a few Harvest widows on how God has shown himself to be faithful through one of life's most difficult times. So sit back and be encouraged as we listen in.
All right, this is Pastor Scott again. I got 2 of my friends here, Miss Judy Sellers, Miss Maribel Chittenden. And we're talking about God's care for widows in our last session. They shared their experience of when they lost their husbands. And so I'd like to just kind of continue on in this second podcast by asking you, just let's talk about the first year. I feel like you sharing a little bit of your experience could help minister to those who might be listening in. So what was your first year like after the loss of Bill, Judy? And what do you distinctly remember about the first year?
Well, after all the family goes home and the calls stop coming in as frequently as they had before, reality sets in that you're a widow. Mm. I never liked the sound of that word. I still don't like to check that block on forms. Mm. We both had just retired. We were thinking about going to Hawaii, and I was thinking, how could this be happening to me? But in some of the books that I read after Bill died, the authors all had the same thoughts. They were asking, why me? But then their answer was, why not me? I'm not immune to heartache. But I found that I was concerned about the smallest things. Like, what was I going to do now when that recess light needed to be changed in the kitchen, or trimming shrubs and replacing the batteries in my smoke detector? But as always, the Lord had it covered. My oldest son lives in Highland Creek, and he was more than happy to help any time that I wanted him to. He could change light bulbs, and he could trim shrubs and replace batteries. He could do those things that I could not do. In last night in Healing Hearts, we talked about Mary and Martha. I think I was a lot about like Martha, busy and around and planning and doing this and that and the other, where Mary was listening to the Lord. I learned to listen to the Lord. I was just concerned about the things that I had no need to be, because the Lord had it all under control.
Were the nights for you really hard?
The nights were very long. That's the worst time for me. And I was fortunate enough to find a job up at the Nomad Aquatic Center working in their child watch. And it was working from 4 to 8 each night. Well, I only worked a couple of nights a week. But that really helped me get through that first year.
Kind of got you out of the house.
Absolutely.
Okay. Miss Maribel, what about you? Talk to us about what the first year was like for you in 2004.
You know, the first year is kind of a blur. Hmm. It's kind of like you're in an out-of-body experience. And as Judy was saying, you know, you hear and you know this happens to other people, but when it happens to you, it just doesn't seem real for a long time. And part of the process of healing, one of the first things is denial. It's almost like, you know, you can't believe this has happened. You see the back of somebody and you think, oh, there's Bud. Or, you know, you're thinking, oh, I need to tell Bud what has happened today. And it's just a feeling of, it just takes, the reality hasn't hit in. And I think that's good in a way, because if reality hit us right away, we couldn't handle it. And so I remember just being in that experience. And, you know, people are around you at first. And, of course, there's the funeral and there's the planning and all that. And, you know, you're just enjoying all that experience. And then the reality hits in that you have things you've got to do. You've got to process legal things. There's a lot of things. You've got to go to the bank. You've got to get death certificates. So that becomes overwhelming. And in my situation, I had a daughter who's a lawyer. And, you know, that was just a godsend for me. And so people don't have that. You know, have to go to either friends or lawyers or whatever to get everything worked out. So there's just so much involved in that first year that it's almost hard to have time to grieve. You almost feel like I've got so much to do. And so I remember feeling that experience. And I remember sometimes feeling anger. And my anger would come when I would be out in the yard trying to start my lawnmower. And it would just make me angry that he had left. And, you know, and then I realized how ridiculous that was. But, you know, I knew he was in heaven and he was having a great time. And here I was trying to start my lawnmower and struggling with it. And so sometimes it would kind of go back to different experiences. And then sometimes I'd be driving and I wouldn't even be thinking of anything. And all of a sudden I'd start crying. And it would shock me. And so I knew that inside I was grieving. So you swing between so many different emotions that first year. And you know, you have the first Christmas, you have the first birthday, and you have the first Thanksgiving. And there's so many firsts that first year that you have to adjust to, the empty chair and all those things. So there's so many emotions that come with that first year that it almost seems like a blur. And what I have experienced in talking with other widows, sometimes the second year is the most difficult. Wow. Because the second year, all of a sudden you realize, this isn't just a first Christmas I'm getting through. This is the Christmases for the rest of my life. He's not going to be here. This is not just the first anniversary. This is reality. This is what's going to be the rest of my life. So I think, you know, there's so much confusion that first more year, or so many much busyness, that sometimes it's the second year that things really hit in. And the hard part about that is everybody else thinks, oh, it's the second year, she'll be doing better. And they can kind of step back, you know, in the beginning the food comes in and all that. And as Judy said, all of a sudden you realize, it's this evening and I'm alone. I'm eating by myself. It took me a long time to even sit down and eat. I would stand up and eat. It was like that was easier for me than to sit down at a table all by myself and eat. So there's so many things, and everybody's different, but there's a lot of emotions that first year. And you know, you can go from laughing to crying in just seconds. And your emotions go high, and then all of a sudden you're dashed down. And so it's during that time that you just have to turn to the Lord and just, you know, abide in Him and let Him be your guide and let Him be the one who is the presence in your life. And, you know, the Bible just became my lifeline. I just, for some reason, it was like the Old Testament. The Old Testament during that time spoke to me of God's love for His people no matter what was happening to them. And the Psalms were just, I just devoured the Psalms. And if it weren't for that, that was kind of like my lifeline was that time.
Well, we're going to be talking about that in our next session. What's God's angle on widows and what He says about widows? But I'd like to close this podcast session out. Seven stages of grief. Grief can be defined, I guess, in a lot of different ways. Maybe one of the primary ways when you hear the word grief, it's great distress. I saw this, it's really an article online on the seven stages of grief, but when you mentioned denial, I thought it might be worth just stating these seven stages, and feel free to comment, either one of you. First stage is shock and denial, state of disbelief. Next stage is pain and guilt. Third stage is anger. and bargaining. Fourth stage is depression. Fifth stage is the upward turn. Sixth stage is reconstruction and kind of working through things. And then the last stage is acceptance and hope. When you hear those stages, can you identify with any of those? I know you mentioned the Mirabelle, but love to just get some brief comments before we end today.
Well, just one brief comment is, they're called stages. Mm-hmm. I don't like stages because they're phases, because you find out that you fluctuate between all of them. Gotcha. I mean, there may be a day when you think, okay, I've accepted it, I'm okay. And the next day, you're down to grief mm-hmm. again. And then the next day, you may be at denial again. So you fluctuate between all those phases, and they don't happen in consecutive order. You don't go from one to mm-hmm. two to three. You go back and forth so many different times, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's okay. But it can be discouraging because you think, okay, I'm okay, and then the next day you say, I'm not okay. But that's okay. You know, that's part of the process. It's such a process, and that we all have to go through.
Okay, Miss Judy, when you hear some of those stages, and I like Maribel's wording on that, phases, any of those stand out to you, and can you identify with any of those?
You know, I think that one of the things you're just mad. You're just mad about how, you know, like I said before, why us? And like I said, why not us? But it's hard to accept that, mm-hmm. that you're now a widow. I mean, you have to, but I think that I found that we all experience the same things. Like, they may not be in that order, mm-hmm. but we all experience our own stages. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very difficult time. Mm-hmm. It's the most difficult time, period, of my life that I ever had. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you guys for sharing, and thank you for the education. I think just in talking to you, I feel like I'm personally being educated on things that I had no idea, like the second year. You know, you talk about the first year, maybe we envision it being the hardest, but the second year, I just feel like that was very helpful for me and hopefully helpful to our listeners. Well, we're going to conclude this podcast, and we look forward to talking more about this topic and about the biblical basis and some of the people that God used in Judy and Maribel's story. So thanks for listening.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministry, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.